morning, golfers. Welcome to the inaugural episode of Finding Fairways on Up North Sports Radio, 2022 version, our eighth season on the air. Eight seasons, Kev. We are getting old.
Where does the time go?
I'm joined by my original co-host, Kevin Frisch, who's morphed into a revolving co-host status. But a lot has already happened this year in professional golf and golf in general.
I tell you what, it's a buzz out there right now.
Scotty Scheffler, baby.
Scotty Scheffler, he is hot. I called it last year. I said he's going to be the Ryder Cup pick, and this guy is close to being great, and he is.
Well, I think you got to be great to be the number one player in the world.
Yes,
I mean, I'm trying to think of who was the worst number one since they started it, right? It started in the late 80s, and Norman was the number one for a long time.
Well, him and Tiger controlled it forever.
Yeah, I mean, Faldo was in there for about 90 weeks, but I think Norman was up there for like 240, 280 weeks, and Tiger.
Yeah.
Holy. But you're talking about Vijay Singh and Duval, and I mean, and then this little revolving door we've had recently
with
JT and Rahm.
Yeah,
Rory.
How about the top 10 in the world right now, or the top 5 in the world being under the age of 25?
Yeah,
I mean, it's amazing the youth out there and how good they are.
Well, you know, it used to be you had to get your get accumulated to being on the tour and the courses and the lifestyle and everything else. And not anymore. These kids are ready to roll.
The pathway for these kids right now is so strong. I mean, right from the days of junior golf,
yep,
getting fitted for equipment, the competitive tournaments they're playing at a young age, where college golf has come, you know, in what they're playing. And these guys are coming right out of college, and they're like, okay, do we need the Korn Ferry Tour? You know, they go right into it. Or if they go to Korn Ferry, they're not on it very long because they're going low and they're getting their card and
they got no fear.
No.
You know, we still see the occasional tense moments as tournaments get tight. Being in the lead spot going into Sunday is still pretty treacherous.
Yeah.
But yeah. This generation of golfers is unlike any we've seen before.
No. It's the fields are deeper. The talent is stronger. I mean, it is quite impressive on what's happening.
As we mentioned, Scotty Scheffler winning 3 events in the last 5 or 6 weeks. But really, his performance at the Ryder Cup kind of reinforced what a lot of people on the PGA Tour were saying about this guy. He won everything as a junior and played at Texas. So, I mean, he knows how to play the game. He looks pretty relaxed out there.
He's in a really good spot right now. I think his game is peaking at the right time. We know what's happening next week.
Yeah.
Golf's premier holiday week. It's what I like to call it.
That's why we started this show. We moved it up into April instead of waiting for the traditional opening around, here in northern Michigan.
Yep.
Because as soon as you turn on the tube and you hear the birds chirping in the green grass and hello, friends.
It is, yeah. And there's a lot of buzz going around.
You mean about you-know-who playing you-know-what?
He's over there. Him and Charlie went down there this week and...
Good to be Charlie Woods.
And Joe LaCava was with him.
Yeah.
And I think he's testing the foot. I heard he played 18 holes.
There's a lot of rumors out that he shot a pretty big number, though.
Well, maybe
I'm just
he
saying. I'm just saying. Yeah. Is this going to be a Hogan-esque thing? You know, after Ben Hogan with the really bad car crash and everything else, and came back and hobbled his way to victory in the U.S. Open. I can't remember what year that was, but walking Augusta is going to be a challenge.
It's a serious challenge.
Yeah.
You're not walking St. Andrews.
No.
Not like that. I mean, that's pretty relatively flat. And people were saying maybe that would have been the time he comes back because that's pretty flat. I mean, Augusta's not flat. It is really hilly. If he can do it, I don't think he would do it unless he thought he could compete.
For certain. He is not going to go out there and shoot 86, 84.
No. Not at all.
You know, that is the portent of when guys decide that they can't play Augusta anymore.
That won't be the case with him. We haven't heard anything yet, but I think it'll be interesting.
The buzz will be so exponentially bigger that that will be the number one story regardless of who wins.
No, and I don't want to be playing in the group behind him or the group in front of him. It'll be quite the scene.
Yeah, I'm terribly excited about it. For me, really the golf season starts at Pebble Beach. You know, that's when I'm, after they've played a couple of events over in Hawaii, and you're kind of tuning in a little bit. You might have it on in the background and take a look at those vistas. But, you know, having spent a lot of time in Northern California, seeing those camera views from Pebble Beach, that's when I first start looking at the tour and what's going on.
It is. And I'm the same. I'm with you. The West Coast Swing, you know, Torrey, Riviera, Pebble, that stretch, even Phoenix. You know, love watching the West Coast Swing. I think it's awesome. It gets people kind of fired up when we're freezing our tails off up here in February. But you're right. Augusta is the actual kickoff of golf season, even though we're looking out the window at snowflakes right now, and the next forecast for the next week isn't supposed to be great. But
well, nobody's planning on opening till May up here anyway, so.
That's right. Yeah,
good thing we got more and more places in northern Michigan that have simulators. So.
Right, exactly. So on the flip side of that, you know, there's somebody missing this year at Augusta, and that would be Mr. Mickelson.
And we'll address Phil, I think, in a standalone episode, because it has to be part of the conversation involving Greg Norman and the Saudis to begin with. And I think it's a bigger conversation than just kind of combining it, although it is sad that Phil is not here off the heels of a PGA win at age 51.
Right.
Returning to a course that he can be competitive on, no matter how long they push it back or what's going on with his game. So we'll talk about Phil coming up in another episode. But as far as the tour goes right now, other than Scheffler, what have you been impressed by? What have you been surprised by?
I think Rahm is on the heels of doing something really special. I think he could win at Augusta.
Sure.
He's been knocking on the door all year. I think
his putting's been really spotty, though.
JT has been knocking on the door.
Yeah.
JT's been playing really great golf. He just hasn't closed the deal yet. And I'm looking at him to do something pretty cool, too. And, you know, if Rory could figure out his wedges and the short putts, I mean, he could be – his ball striking, you know, the driver, irons, everything is really good right now. He just goes brain dead with a wedge in his hand and can't figure it out.
Yeah, you know, there's always nine holes that Rory has a real tough time with, and he's behind the eight ball. It started to become a pattern in the majors, you know, like the first round, he'd either shoot a 40 on the front side of his first round or a 40 on the back side after being one of the three favorites. But that bugaboo seems to pop up every tournament he plays.
Yeah.
He cannot play 72 holes of golf like Rory McIlroy did 5 years ago.
Right. The other guy I'm excited to see next week is Sam Burns. He is somebody I think he's just coming into himself. I thought he could have been a Ryder Cup pick, but he's been consistent this year, playing well, and I think you could see him doing something at Augusta.
Well, you know who? There's a couple of guys that are on my radar for Augusta, and we'll flesh this out next week when we have Dan Pohl in. Kind of knows his way around
Augusta a
little bit. But Will Zalatoris finished in second place last year, has been pretty solid so far this year, and then seems to have figured out his bad putting stuff in the match play.
That's been his downfall has been his putting. I mean,
Zalatoris is a ball hitting Jesse, as they like to say.
He's a ball striking machine. No, he is. And you know, you would sit there and think, okay, somebody like him with his putting issues could never compete or win at Augusta, but he hit the ball so great last year at Augusta that he didn't have to be the best putter.
No, when you hit it within 6 feet all the time, I mean, that's Vijay Singh-ish, right? You know, Vijay won the Masters because he hit the ball within 12 feet of the hole every single round. It was crazy. Johnny Miller stuff, you know.
Right.
Who cares if you can't putt, if everything's a six-footer?
Right, exactly. I'm excited to see Augusta, too. Obviously, there's some holes that they've done some changes to, which is always interesting. They moved some tees and shifted the fairway a little bit on 11, made the fairway wider, so they can bring in more angles into that green, which will be interesting.
Yeah.
They've done some stuff around the green to make that miss to the right a little bit tougher to getting up and down, so that'll be interesting to see. They moved the tee at 15, moved that back and down to the right closer to the tent.
Back and to the right.
Kind of back
and to the right.
Exactly. So it's going to be, it's always, I'm always amazed at what they do there at Augusta with changing the holes, and you come in and it doesn't look like anything's been touched.
Yeah, you know, that has been, the evolution of that golf course is a constant thing. It's so organic, you know, like
Right. Here's
what we need to do. We do it. And we still have all the azaleas, and nobody ever complains.
No, nobody ever complains.
Yeah, Zalatoris I like. Corey Connors, who has had a couple of really nice showings, a number of top 10 finishes on tour this year, I think what made it into the top 8 in the match play.
Yep.
And he was in the top 10 at the Masters last year. So, you know, Rahm is the betting favorite. And he probably deserves to be because he's due. It's kind of like, you know, like the U.S. Open last year.
Right.
He'd been so close in a couple of events that you just kind of felt that he was going to win.
The other guy right now that's playing pretty well is DJ.
You know, I was talking to my son when we were watching the match play, and when his driver is really on, it's devastating. I mean, that little power fade for 325, like he just dropped that, you know, I want it to be in this 6x6 foot area, and it just happens.
Yep.
Like he draws it up in his mind and does it. And, you know, he got a little iffy. It looked like he should have won the match play.
Right.
And then, you know, his putter went a little dead, which can happen to anybody, but it seems to happen to DJ.
Right.
A lot. That's usually the impediment for him.
There's some guys, DJ's playing well. Adam Scott's playing okay, too. You know, there's guys that love Augusta that are playing well that are coming in. Cam Smith.
Cam Smith is another guy that I had. The only reason why I didn't bet him already, because I like to make really, you know, $2 or $3 bets. Corey Connors, I think, is like 6,000 to 1. So, I mean, I win $130 if he happens to win the tournament for $2.
Yeah.
Cam Smith is like the fourth betting favorite. I mean, he's looked spectacular. He finished in the top 10 there last year.
Oh, yeah.
And that mother can roll the rock.
He can putt. And if you can putt at Augusta, you're going to be in the hunt.
Yeah. You know, and he doesn't hit it nearly as bad as Ben Crenshaw used to.
No.
You know, yeah, and somebody will pop up on the leaderboard like, oh, where the hell did that kid come from? Or it's about time we saw him play good again.
Well, look at, you know, another guy to look out for is Morikawa.
Morikawa, Matsuyama won twice already in the bubble season coming back in here.
The number of players right now that are playing really good golf going into Augusta is phenomenal.
And Jordan Spieth played pretty good there last year. I mean,
yeah,
Spieth usually is a factor at Augusta.
Right.
And, you know, he hasn't been as hot as he was at the end of last year.
Yeah.
But he likes his Augusta as much as anybody we've talked about.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He'll be around. I can't look at his three-quarter pre-swing routine. I just can't. I have to look away from the TV screen.
We will get more in-depth, as I said, next week with our a Masters preview with Dan Pohl. But Kevin and I had to talk about Augusta.
Right.
And when we return here on Finding Fairways, we will talk about the Saudi Golf League, Phil Mickelson, and what the next steps or missteps for Phil are going to be, the Greg Norman influence on all of it. Later on, we'll have a conversation with teaching pro extraordinaire Jason Gus. We always like to have him on for the first session to talk about things you can do to get ready for golf here in Michigan, and much, much more on Finding Fairways here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by CarlsGolfland.com. It's time to check in with our good friends at CarlsGolfland.com. Tim Coyle's on the phone with me. And, Tim, happy golf season with the Masters just around the corner. Pretty much the golf season wakens for everybody, even here in the north.
Yeah, Jerry, excited to finally have some of this cooler long winter weather break so we can get back out there and start swinging again.
Well, as the Masters always signifies the beginning of spring and golf course is opening up, I know you guys always do a bunch of stuff during the majors. What's going on at Carl's?
Yeah, for sure. We have a ton of stuff coming up this week. We obviously just wrapped up our annual demo days promotion, which was awesome. So we're super grateful for everybody that was able to come out to the store or shop with us online during that. But starting Monday, we have, just like we do for many of the majors, we'll have site-wide free shipping with no minimum. So there's anything you haven't pulled the trigger on leading up to this golf season. If you're in the continental United States, you will definitely have free shipping on that. Yeah, we'll even start a flash sale for the major later, starting later on in the week as well.
Yeah, and then you and I were talking, Scotty Cameron's got a whole new slew of putters, and you can pre-order them now?
Yeah, there's only a couple that you can't. They're a little bit later launch, but they have Scotty Cameron, the Phantom X 2022, just became available for pre-order. Super sleek looking line of mallets from Scotty Cameron. And, you know, Titleist also has been, you know, launching a couple other things lately. The new Boakie SM9s just became available recently as well. So there's a lot of good stuff, you know, and then obviously over the winter, there's been a ton of great product we've seen and been able to test and validate how good it's been, you know, from TaylorMade Stealth to Rogue ST, you name it. Everything that's out there seems to be performing really, really well so far this year.
Absolutely everything to make your golf game better or make you look better on the golf course is available at carlsgolfland.com. Tim, look forward to talking to you each and every week as we start the golf season.
Fantastic. Can't wait.
Welcome back to Finding Fairways on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by CarlsGolfland.com. Jerry Coyne live in studio with Kevin Frisch. And Kevin, as we touched upon in the last segment, the announcement of the Saudi Golf League headed by Greg Norman and a cadre of sheiks and billionaires put together a pretty interesting package to entice the greats of the game to play in really high-dollar golf.
Right. We haven't heard officially who the players are yet. There's supposedly invites going out, but they've got a schedule. 8 events, $250 million.
Per event?
No, it's total for the season.
Right.
It culminates with a $50 million team match play event. But they've got dates and locations.
Yeah, give it to them real quick.
June 9th through 11th, they're in London at the Centurion Club. July 1 through 3, they're at Pumpkin Ridge in Portland. In New Jersey, they're at Trump National Golf Club, Bedminster, July 29 through 31st. The International in Boston, September 2 through 4. Rich Harvest Farms in Chicago, September 16 through 18th. Then they go to Bangkok in October, 7 through 9. And then they go to Jeddah.
It's got to be in Saudi Arabia.
Somewhere over there, October 14th.
That's 31 million dollars available per event for 45 guys.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, it's each event is 54 holes.
Yeah.
No cut, and they're doing shotgun starts.
Yeah. I had heard that, and I don't know if it's 100% accurate, but the winning purses were like $5 million.
Okay. Yep.
And if you finished in the top 5, you were going to make $1 million. But, you know, after the PGA Tour started putting on the hardcore press about, well, if you play in these events, you're barred from the PGA Tour, nobody came out and said they weren't going to do it yet. I mean, you know, it was just kind of this bubble around. Then Phil comes out and talks about a stream of consciousness that even is beyond Phil being Phil.
Yeah.
And that whole story is so bizarre because, who is it, Alan Shipnook?
Alan Shipnook is writing the unauthorized...
You know Alan.
Yeah, he's writing the unauthorized book about Phil.
Right.
They had a couple conversations in the past, and then apparently Phil called him up one day.
One evening,
and just started talking to Alan. There was no discussion back and forth on whether or not this was on the record or off the record. And in the week of the...
Being a writer, I mean, that happens a lot. Kevin, this is off the record, but...
Yeah, if this was off the record, it would have been clear.
Yeah.
It would have been made clear at the beginning of the conversation.
Well, you don't go into a big explanation and go, hey, Alan, you know, something's been on my mind. This is off the record, but... And that's usually enough for a writer to go, okay.
Right.
And then if there's a lot of really interesting things in it, the writer goes, are you sure that I can't put some of this together?
Yeah, there's definitely some discussions on that.
Yeah, I mean, this happens all the time in media.
Yeah, and it was pretty interesting. The week of the Genesis at Riviera, Alan let those remarks, he put them out there.
Yeah.
And Phil is in the hot seat. And
the blowback was incredible. And that's when all these, you know, all the Rory McIlroys, the DJs, and the Brooks Koepkas all came out and said, you know, I got no interest in this Saudi tour.
Right.
You know, some of the things that Mickelson brought up were interesting, especially about the media rights stuff. Like, I didn't know that Phil had to pay the PGA Tour $1 million for each one of those charity events and the one-offs that he paid because they used all this footage of him to promote it.
Interesting.
I did not know that.
Well, and tour players are allowed...
They don't own their images.
No.
The PGA owns all that imaging when it takes place at a PGA Tour event.
Right. And it's not that different in other sports.
I don't think Tom Brady writes a $1 million check every time he appears in a television commercial. That's why most of the time they're not in their Bucks uniforms or anything else.
Yeah. I don't know enough about it, but I do know a little bit from the fact that when they do these TV deals, they're packaged in a way that for the tour to make money or whatever, they would be very difficult to give away all of those media rights. And I don't know, you know, diving into the weeds, I don't know all of the details about it.
And neither do I. I just want to say, you know, on face value, that Phil and Tiger match with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady saved golf in 2020. There was nothing on. The tour had pulled off their schedule, and there was no sports going on at all. That thing was a huge step in the right direction for the PGA Tour. And if Tiger and Phil had to each give $1 million to the PGA Tour, or, you know, it came out of the purse or whatever, I think that's pretty crappy. Just on face value.
Yeah. I know the tour gives, I think the players on the tour get three exemptions to go play, like when they go over to Dubai,
right,
and play in those, because they're getting paid appearance fee money over there. They're allowed, I believe, three of those each year. I don't know all the details on how that works, but then after that, and they can't inflict with certain events, I think, too.
It all starts with, you know, Norman. I don't think anything, the Saudis even had any legitimacy until they went and got Norman, who's always had an axe to grind with the PGA Tour, because Tim Finchin screwed Greg Norman at least three times.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
There wouldn't be the four World Golf Championships if it hadn't been Greg Norman's idea that Tim Finchin was going to bar him from the PGA. I mean, there's been a lot of crap between Greg Norman and the PGA Tour.
Oh, yeah.
But I can't think of anybody other than Gary Player who was more of an international player than Greg Norman.
Right.
So, I mean, Norman has been good for the game.
Oh, absolutely.
But him stepping into this arena and saying that he was going to, you know, take off from his other 20 other mega billion businesses. I mean, Greg Norman makes a ton of money.
Right.
He obviously was part of his little axe to grind with the PGA Tour. And then Phil, you know, saying that he wanted to use it for leverage for PGA players to get a better deal. I don't know, but it's obvious that the Masters did not extend their invitation to Phil, because from my understanding, Kevin, and you might know this better than I do, even if you're a reigning champion and everything else, you still have to get your invite. And the story that's floating around is that the Masters just never sent it. And that's why Phil said, I won't be playing.
Well, and Phil came out and said he was going to take a step away from the game for a while and inter-reflect and all of that. And nobody knows if he's been suspended officially from the tour either, and that's been floated around as well.
Well, what's his name? Jay Monahan was, you know, I thought he was pretty level-headed at his press conference at the Players saying, I want to talk to Phil. You know, if he didn't suspend Phil. He said, Phil and I need to talk about what's going on. And, you know, and it didn't sound like a come to the principal's office. I think it sounded reasoned. I was kind of surprised that Phil didn't at least respond with, right now I'm trying to get my head together. When I'm prepared to talk and maybe play professional golf again, then I'm going to sit down with the commissioner. But there was crickets there. And that was a little concerning. And I don't know what Phil's doing for money, because he doesn't have a sponsor right now.
No, he's probably got a lot of money in the bank. He's made a few bucks, if he hasn't gambled it all away. Now, I had not heard that the invite didn't go out. I had not.
You're never
going to
hear that. You'll
never hear it. But yeah. I've also heard discussions that Phil also looked at it as, you know what, if he showed up there, he wouldn't be doing the tournament or anybody any favors, because everything would be solely spotlight on him, and the boys at Augusta do not like that.
No, they don't like that.
But
like, you know, as we said in the last segment, him coming off a major victory and the next major is Augusta, where Phil always has a legitimate shot to win, is really a drag for the event in total, and maybe a really huge missed opportunity for Phil Mickelson.
Yeah. he really alienated himself. Do I think he needs to take all the grief that he's taking for it and be treated like this? I don't know.
We'll see what the continuing saga of Phil Mickelson will be on Finding Fairways. We will be chatting with Jason Gus, the fine golf instructor at the Jason Gus Academy down in Lansing. Stay tuned. Finding Fairways brought to us by CarlsGolfLand.com. Welcome back to Finding Fairways on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by CarlsGolfLand.com. Jerry Coyne and Kevin Frisch are in studio with an old friend, older than we like to think, Jason Gus from the Jason Gus Golf Academy. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm not admitting to being that old yet, so I'm starting with that right out of the gate. But yes, it has been a while, and I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Well, we always like having you on our opening episode, Jason. We'd like to talk a little bit about ways to get us our golf muscles back in shape for the upcoming golf season. And you've got a lot of interesting news coming out of the Jason Gus Golf Academy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's been a busy winter. You know, everyone is really getting into training all year now. The good news is hopefully many people aren't as rusty coming out of spring or out of winter as they used to be. And, you know, the big thing for me is I'm actually picking up my academy and moving to Naperville, Illinois, to Naperville Country Club. So I'm going to go start a new little business down there and see if I can help the state of Illinois lower their handicap a little bit.
That's exciting, Jason. Tell me, you know, as we sit up here and it's cold and I'm thinking about golf in the next couple of weeks, give us a drill or a tip that you might want to do indoors, living room, basement, wherever, to get yourself ready.
Yeah, you know, there's a bunch of things you can do, but one of the things I love, and most people have a medicine ball or a basketball or something laying around, and this is really good for your drywall and not getting yelled at by your wife as well, so that's a good thing. But just holding the basketball or medicine ball in front of you and getting in golf posture and just working on rotations back and through. And that's partially, most importantly, is just getting your body kind of warmed up and kind of waking it up to say, hey, we're going to start making some swings again and get ready to go outside and play golf. And then, you know, the next thing I would do is I would actually take the club and choke kind of halfway down on the shaft. And I would just start making little mini swings with kind of a half a golf club. And I think those couple things are really good just to kind of get a feel and, you know, kind of get all your muscles and your ligaments starting to loosen up again.
Jason, talking to a number of other teachers in the last 12 months, seems to be a huge focus on speed training and getting your club head speeds up. What kind of drills or what kind of thoughts do you have on and getting a faster swing?
Well, I mean, there's two things, right? For anyone to tell you that if you hit it farther, it's not going to benefit you is they're not lying. It will benefit you if you hit it farther. Now, there's two kind of concerns to that. A, you know, you have to understand that if you hit it farther, you are going to lose some form of accuracy right off the bat. So you have to kind of cut yourself a little bit of slack if you're trying to hit it farther and you're maybe not as accurate as you are first. And then the second thing would be, you know, and Bryson's dealing with this a little bit right now, you have to be really careful that you don't injure yourself in the process. To me, I'm always very careful when I do speed training with my students to say, hey, you know, we're going to try to swing harder, but we're going to do it maybe 5 or 6 swings a day and then just slowly try to build up and get a mile per hour here or there. Because, you know, I've seen a lot of the studies where it takes, you know, really good players, you know, upwards of a year just to get 5 to 7 mile an hour of speed. So you're not going to get it in 2 weeks.
Are there some things that you're doing with your students to help them increase their speed without the golf club in their hand?
So there's a couple training aids that are really good. There's one called the Stack System, and it's basically a club that comes with weights, and it's an app that goes on your phone as well. And basically you make a bunch of swings and then the app tells you the exercises, according to you individually. And that's a great thing to kind of use, and it helps you kind of walk through how to kind of get faster. The other thing you can do is speed sticks. Speed sticks are great. They take about 15 minutes to do the series, 15 to 20 minutes. You can do them 3 times a week. Those are really good. And then the funny thing is you know, Chris Morey, my instructor that's been with me for 5 years. I mean, I can remember 5 years ago in our indoor facility that we decided we were going to try to get faster and swing our drivers way faster. And what we did every day or every other day is when we practiced, we would spend the last 10 minutes of our practice just trying to swing it as fast as we can, hit it as far as we could hit it. And that included losing balance, yelling, all the crazy things that were going on, right?
Happy Gilmore.
And yeah, right? And so the funny thing was we realized that, like, if you just did that, like, we both picked up miles per hour in quite a bit. And the funny thing was is when Bryson started doing this a year ago, him and I were laughing because we had been doing this 5 years prior to that and had done something very similar to that. So if you want to do it an easy way, you just go out there and at the end of your practice session, just try to hammer a couple. And you know what? If you don't make good contact or you don't hit them where they want to go, it's okay. And here's a crazy stat for you, actually. On the PGA Tour, they do a stat called smash factor, which is basically solidity of contact of tee shot.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go look at last year, who had the worst smash factor on the PGA Tour, Bryson DeChambeau was second to last in hitting the center of the face with his driver.
But yet, where did he rank on the driving stats?
Bingo, number one.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
So you look at it, he doesn't really care if he's hit the center of the face that much. He's just going to swing at 140 mile an hour.
Well, as you said, though, it may have caught up to, I mean, that was always the concern when we saw this muscular transformation and the speed increasing. You know, Dan Pohl on the show talked about it. Kevin talked about it, how sustainable it's going to be. Obviously, some of it has caught up with him. Maybe he shouldn't have been in the long drive contest, you know, at the end of the season. So time will tell how sustainable this will be. You know, it's one thing to boost it a couple miles an hour. It's another thing to go, you know, protein shake crazy and do everything that Bryson did to get where, I mean, he got a U.S. Open out of it. So I guess you could say so far the experiment's been successful.
Well, and I think it's what your goals are individually, right? Most of us that are listening to this radio show aren't trying to win a U.S. Open. They're trying to enjoy golf a little more. And as we get older, we're going to have more time to play. And so we don't want to injure ourselves and not be able to play when we finally get the opportunity to do that. So you just, you know, if you pick up a couple extra mile an hour bonus, if not, keep your body healthy so you can enjoy this game until you're 85 years old.
You know, Jason, you work with a lot of juniors, young players. Fitness has become such a huge thing in the game. I mean, there isn't every tour event you go to, there's fitness trailers now for all the guys. What are you doing with your students from a fitness standpoint? Are you implementing fitness programs in with what you're working with them on?
Yeah, well, the first thing I understand is I'm not smart enough to be the fitness guy.
Sure.
So I can do golf stuff. I'm not doing fitness. So I have a lady down in Lansing named Rebecca Klinger, who's maybe one of the smartest human beings I've ever met from a fitness standpoint. And when everyone asks me what I should do, I just basically give them her number and say, go talk to Rebecca, because she is phenomenal. She worked with the Olympic goalie, Ryan Miller. She's worked with LPGA players. I mean, she is fantastic, and she just understands how the body works. And so when I get someone who's serious, I outsource it to her.
Well, Jason, I'd give our listeners all the information about the Jason Gus Golf Academy, but as you said, we were talking off air, you're still going to take students on from Michigan and things like that. So tell people how they can get in touch with you and maybe become part of your academy.
Well, it's going to be easy now because I actually redid my website and I'm re-releasing it here in the next few days. It's jasongusgolf.com. There'll be videos on there. You'll be able to schedule your golf lessons online with me. My phone number will be on there, so it's pretty easy to get a hold of me. And, you know, I'm super excited to go do this and also a little emotional because, you know, I've been telling everyone this last 2 weeks. I said, I feel like everyone's swing changes are finally fixed and now I'm leaving. I'm not going to be able to reap the benefits of them killing it up here. So I hope everyone comes down, and even if it's just to say hello, just to stop by and hit a few balls and show me how good they're playing, that'd be great.
Well, we're really excited for you, and you can bet I'll be dropping by to see you, so count on that.
Not me. Yeah, Kevin doesn't need any work on his swing, but, you know, we know the putting woes, so let us know when you get that putting clinic going on.
Well, Kevin, you will be excited. They just redid their entire putting green there, so we can spend some time on that.
Perfect. I'll take any help I can get.
I like his putting just the way it is right now, Jason. Jason Gus, thanks for joining us so much on Finding Fairways. Good luck on the move, and we'll be in touch.
Yeah, hopefully I get you guys next spring. Don't count me out because I'm in Illinois now, all right?
No, never.
Well, and when you're up north, call me so we can tee it up.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
All right.
We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Up North Sports Radio, Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Sports Radio, brought to us by CarlsGolfLand.com. Jerry Coyne in studio with Kevin Frisch. And Kev, the one of the mainstays of this program for the last few years has been Forrest Dunes and Don Helinski. And Don had to decline joining our co-hosting staff this year because of how busy things have been at Forrest Dunes. And he told me 2 weeks ago that they barely had any tee times left for the weekends already.
Yeah, they are, you know, whether it's Forest Dunes, Boyne, they are
Arcadia Bluffs, Grand Traverse Resort.
Everybody is their
recordly busy.
Record numbers. Places are filling up. If you're talking about, if you're thinking about booking a package to Northern Michigan, you need to get on it now.
Yeah.
And whether it's midweek, weekend. I mean, weekends, I think, are pretty much almost sold out.
For big groups, it's going to be
filling up. I mean, it's, you know, there's so much great golf up here. And I got to give a shout out, too, to Sweetgrass up at Island Resort and Casino. I know it's our first show, but National Golf Course of the Year award, which is fantastic. So
and they targeted Sweetgrass on its own because they have two courses right there at Island Casino.
Well, they have two courses. The National Golf Course Owners Association picks it out. The Michigan Golf Course Owners, they do the recommending and
the nominating
and everything, and they won the Michigan Golf Course of the Year. And they go by quality of the golf course, what they do for the community. They've got the Epson Tour. The women up there playing every year, they donate a lot back to the community and to junior golf. They look at all of that. And they've done a wonderful job with that over the past 10 years since they've opened. And it's very deserving, very cool that it went to an Upper Peninsula golf course. And
I've got to get up there. We've had them on the show a couple of times over the years. And I've seen the courses, both of them, Sweetgrass and
Sage Run.
Sage Run. And they look lovely.
Yeah,
on the golf tours, and I'm like, well, I know it's a little ways away from here,
right?
But you can cobble together quite the golf trip.
It's a really cool golf trip up there. I mean, whether you go there and stay, they've got the new hotel that just opened up,
right?
The addition, and which is fantastic with a new restaurant at the top. They even have golf suites now. It's really cool what's going on up there with that.
Yeah, and of course you've got a number of other great golf courses in the UP.
Yep.
And a burgeoning destination.
Yeah, and they, you know, Timberstone not far down the road in Iron Mountain, and then Gray Walls. They actually do a package together.
Yep.
With all four of them, you stay at Island Resort, play all four of them. It's really cool. But you know, any resort destination, you go downstate, Gull Lake. You know, they're packed. They're filling up. Harbor Shores is filling up. Everybody is seeing record numbers, which is fantastic. It just makes it hard to get a tee time.
One thing, another place, since we're talking about this, I played American Dunes after we were done with the show for the year last year, and I got to tell you what a fantastic job Jack Nicklaus has done to that golf course and what's going on down there. It reminded me so much of Pinehurst Number 2 now with you know, Coren Crenshaw redoing it and putting all the natural waste areas and everything in it. That's got to go on your bucket list for sure.
Really cool what Dan Rooney has done there, Folds of Honor and how it's all tied in there. But I grew up 10 minutes from there and probably played there 100 times growing up,
right,
when it was the old Grand Haven Golf Club that Bruce Matthews designed. And it always sat on this sand dune, which was literally 500 yards from Lake Michigan.
Right.
Now it goes through some homes, so you can't see the lake or anything. But it was all very tight, very tree-lined, very, you know, hallway golf, as we like to call
yep.
it. I learned how to hit a one-iron there back in the mid-'80s, so playing high school golf there. So the transformation of what Nicklaus did to that is amazing. It's a total transformation. Can't tell even what the old golf course used to be there, and the way they did the open waste areas and brought in the sand and exposed the dunes.
Yeah, the
very, very cool place.
The routing is fantastic, and the greens are not savagely severe as Nicklaus has been known to do a number of times. The whole experience was fabulous, and I would rate it way at the top of my list of courses you can play in the state of Michigan for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. They did a great job there.
But, we have spent a lot of time on the show over the years talking about, making your tee times. Well, don't say we didn't warn you. I'm just telling you right now.
Exactly.
You know, even Kevin and I have some pull, and you're like, nope.
Not happening.
Should have called a month ago. Should have called last year.
Well, in on a national scale, Bandon Dunes, they're sold out. You can't even book a trip to Bandon Dunes until 2023 now.
That's, you know, it's a nice place. I think it's overrated. I really do. I much more enjoy Whistling Straits and that whole thing. And I got to get up to Sand Valley.
Well, I will totally disagree with you 100%.
Okay.
It is the coolest place for golf in America, bar none.
I don't think
if
so.
If you can get there.
Yeah, well, getting there is an issue.
It is an issue.
You know, I was lucky enough to get there on a private jet. You know,
right.
If you're going to fly commercial, it's a trek.
Oh, no, I flew commercial, and it took me 12 hours to get there. So.
Maybe your diligence to do that. It's what has made your grades so high. But anyways, we are kicking off the golf season, and glad to have you aboard for another year of Finding Fairways. So make sure that you check in with us each Saturday and Sunday on this Up North Sports Radio Network. And we'll be back with you next week, as we like to say. Find a fairway of your own, stick a peg in the ground, and pound it down the middle. We'll see you next week. It's time to check in with our good friends at Boyne Golf. I've got Ken Griffin on the phone. And, Ken, just a banner year for Boyne in 2021, and looks like no stopping to 2022, huh?
No. We're excited for the 2022 season, Jerry. You know, I just wrapped up the last golf show of the season last weekend in Boston. And I don't even think everybody in Michigan realizes that 17 different U.S. cities now have direct service into Traverse City. So having your friends come to Michigan and play is easier than ever.
Yeah, you know, it was funny. You and I were talking about that yesterday and how blown away guys in Boston were, like, how easy it is right to get to Traverse City. And, you're going to see a lot more out-of-state golfers than ever before.
Two-hour flight and a one-hour drive. It doesn't get much simpler than that to get here from the East Coast.
Not at all. And what kind of do we have any early bird specials right now that people can get in on before the season explodes on us?
Well, actually, we have them coming up this week with the Masters special. You know, we always have a lodging and a tee time special, and once again, we'll have that. You know, this week is just so exciting. You know, the only thing better than green grass and birds chirping and the best golfers in the world at Augusta is knowing that in just a couple of weeks we're going to be all open on our courses too.
Yeah, I, even though it doesn't look like it today. So best thing in the world to do to cure some of these midwinter blues is go to boynegolf.com and plan that trip today.
Yeah, you know, whether you're looking for a tee time or signing up for an email to make sure you get our master specials or just checking out the resorts, you can do everything at boynegolf.com.
Ken Griffin, I look forward to a long and lengthy golf season with you here on Finding Fairways.
We're excited as well, Jerry. Have a great weekend.
You too, pal.